Well, take two. our live stream is not working for some reason, even though it tells me that it's working, but it's not working. So technology is a wonderful thing, except for when it's not. And so you have heard the announcements, but they haven't heard the announcements. So you're going to get to hear the announcements again. The announcements are, next Sunday, Luke and Catherine Nance are going to be coming and interviewing for the youth and family minister job. And so they are going to be here Saturday night at 5, yes, 5 o'clock for a meet and greet in the multipurpose building. Luke will lead worship Sunday morning. He'll be here available to talk to you guys however you'd like to talk to him and ask him questions. And then they'll also be here for CR next Sunday night as well. One thing I forgot to mention last time that is a new announcement for you is CR will start back here at the building tonight. We will have a time of worship. We normally do worship, dinner, and small groups. We will just have a time of worship at 5 o'clock here. Dinner will be on your own, and then we will open up the small groups on Zoom as we have been doing at 6:45. So we'll still be able to do that for people who can't get out. They'll still be able to take advantage of those small groups as well. And then the last thing I mentioned earlier, I think, was the contributions. There's trays in here in the room, or you can give through our website. I think I covered everything I covered before, so there you go. This morning, we are going to be talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you want to turn over there and open your Bibles. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. We're continuing our look at the history of the church living out Christ's story in the world. Because if we're living for ourselves, we're not part of the kingdom of God. You're called to die to yourself. You don't live anymore if you follow Christ. It is Christ that lives in and through you. And so what we want is not of utmost importance in the kingdom of God. It is carrying forth the mission that has been set before us. And that flies in the face of so many things that our world tells us today. But we're not part of this world. We live in this world. We're missionaries in this world, but we are part of the kingdom of heaven. That's where we belong. Sometimes I think our foreign land here feels too much like home. We stop yearning for home. And so we want to reorient our minds to this a bit. And we've been looking at this for a few weeks now. We started out in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus goes home, where we're all going someday. But before he leaves, he reminds his followers that are left here on the earth to grow the kingdom here. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." But you got to wait. There was a time of waiting and a time of prayer. Because you see, if we go about things by our own will and don't rely on God, it's not of God. And so the church waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks on Pentecost Sunday. But they received power when the Holy Spirit came on them, and then they went about life like they usually do. We talked about Acts chapter 3 and how Peter and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer like they usually do. And there's a beggar there like has been for decades. And he's asking for money like he usually does. And when he asks Peter and John for money, they say, "Well, we don't have money, but what God has given us, we'll give to you. So get up and walk." And they heal the guy. They weren't going out hunting for people to heal. They were living out their life like they did every day. And when they had a kingdom opportunity, they took it. They couldn't give what the man was asking for, but what God had given them, they freely gave to somebody else. And so part of living in the kingdom of God, part of living out his story, is we take whatever he has given us and we use it to bless other people. We live our life, wherever that life is. We live that life and we use what God has given us to bless other people. Then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is written by Paul to a church that did that very thing. That Paul planted a church there, and when he writes back or when he's curious about how they're doing, he gets this report that they've got it. That they are living as kingdom people in the world, and that wherever they go, people know that they follow Jesus. Why? Because they're living out his story, not their own. Wherever they go, they're telling the story of Jesus, so much so that they start sending out mission efforts. Everybody knows how good these guys are because they're living out the story in their lives. Last week, we talked about the church in Corinth and how they get a really bad rap on a lot of issues. Oh, well, they had this problem, and they had this problem, and that's not how Paul talks about them. Paul talks about them as a group that has been sanctified. That's a fancy church word that means made holy. And holy is a fancy church word that means set apart for a purpose. That your purpose isn't no longer your purpose. Your purpose is now to live out the story of Christ in the world. So he says, Christ has made you holy. By his act on the cross, he has set you apart for a different work. And because you were set aside for a different work, you don't live life the way that everybody else around you does. That you live a different life. We talked about how in Corinth, the culture was to one up, to be better than everybody else, to be more respected, to have more stuff, to be more well thought of, which of course we don't deal with in 21st century America, do we? Not at all. We don't care about how we appear to the rest of the world, do we? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Fill in your social media there. But the way that they got more power was who they associated with. And again, I'm totally putting our century on their century. But if I could grab a selfie with Peter, ooh, look at that. I'm going to get a lot of likes. And if I can get a selfie with Peter and Paul, they didn't spend all that much time together. Look how cool I am, man. These guys hang out with me. Doesn't seem all that foreign to our world today, does it? And Paul said, stop it. That we don't get power based on who we hang out with. That we don't claim power based on who's better or who's not. That we follow something that seems like absolute foolishness to the rest of the world. That's the story of the cross. It is the power that is in the story of the cross that makes us great, not us. Amen. Not anything that we do in this world, but it's the power of the resurrected Savior and the work at the cross that matters. That seems crazy to the world. It seems absolutely foolish, but we don't live according to the rules of this world. We live according to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God doesn't do that. It's not about me. And as you continue to read the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to realize that that's the ultimate problem with the church in Corinth. That instead of being about we, they've made everything they do about me. It's become a selfish group of people. Not because they're just bad folks, it's their world. The world that they live in teaches them to operate that way. And so they've brought the world into the kingdom, and they don't mix. They're trying to make it mix, and they're getting all kinds of problems. And so Paul's writing back to sort out these problems, because this is a group of people that Jesus loves. Despite all their issues, despite all their problems, despite all their mess, Christ has sanctified them and made them holy and set them apart for a very special job. Problem is, the world's getting in the way of them doing that job. Paul wants to fix that. And so when you look at situations like the sexual sins that they have, they've turned that into a me thing, not a we thing. They're destroying the community, and they're destroying the community's reputation in their city because of people acting selfishly. They're living for me, not we. And then you fast forward a little bit, and you've got issues with people and with marriage. And am I going to just dump my husband because he's not a believer and because I am now? Well, no, that makes it about me and not we. So if he's willing to stay married, stay married. Well, I'm single. I'm just going to stay single. Okay, that's fine. If you want to, that's fine. It's okay to get married too. That's fine too. It's about we here. What's good for the community here? Not all about you. Our Lord's Supper looks very different on a normal day than the Lord's Supper back then. It looks especially strange today, according to the Lord's Supper back then. Let me put into context what's going on here, okay? Let's say that these tables, instead of little self-serve cups, are full of pitchers of wine and loaves of bread. Panera bread. I mean, good bread. If donuts rings a bell better for you, okay, make it donuts, okay? Whatever. I got here at the building earlier than any of you did this morning. 6:30. And I was hungry. I came in and looked at the Lord's Supper laid out on these tables. I went, I'm eating good this morning. And I proceeded to eat my way through the Lord's Supper so that when y'all got here, I ain't nothing here for you. I lived according to me, not according to we. That's exactly what's happening in the church in Corinth. The wealthy people who don't have to work all day are getting to the banquet and eating all the food, and then when the poor folks come in, there's not even enough there to take communion. They're living for me, and not we. And then Paul addresses an issue of head coverings. It seems that some people are making some people dress in a way that's not in keeping. We're not going to run down that rabbit trail today. But again, they're living for me, not we. And then he starts talking about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks as well. But some people are saying to other people, well, I don't need you because you don't have the same gift that I got. I got the good gift. You don't. It's that whole passage about how, you know, an eye can't say to a hand or a foot, I don't need you. Because the Holy Spirit has given to each one exactly as he sees fit. The fact that we're not all spiritual eyeballs in here is important. We need everybody. And so you thinking that you're better than somebody else because of what gifting you have, that's not a kingdom thing. That's a world thing. Don't do that. Then in chapter 14, Paul comes back and says, now that you've got all these gifts, let's learn how to use them where we're not competing against each other. Craig, where's Craig? There he is, Craig. Thank you for leading singing this morning. But wouldn't it be odd if at the same time James and Terry both got up and competed song leading different songs at the same time as you this morning? That's exactly what was happening in Corinth. Edwin gets up here and starts wording a heartfelt prayer, and you know somebody back here goes, well, I knew better than that, and stands up and starts leading another prayer right over top of it. And we will have 20 simultaneous sermons from different texts all at the same time. That's what's going on in Corinth. Because it's all about me, not we. And so in chapter 14, Paul goes, look, you can do this. And each of you can use what God has given you. But don't do it in a way that tries to show you're better than everybody else. And dropped smack dab into that is chapter 13 that's all about romantic love and marriages, right? Wrong. Now, if you had that passage read at your wedding, I don't even remember my wedding. I don't know if we had it. Your brother read it. Okay, it was in my wedding, okay? So I'm not bashing you to have it in your wedding. If you were to say, hey, should my marriage have a chapter 13 kind of love? Yes, it should. But that's not why Paul wrote chapter 13. The love chapter of the Bible is written because people are not loving each other in the church by exercising their gifts. They're competing at everything they do. Who's better? Who's got the right idea? Who knows what to do? And Paul's saying, stop it. Of all the spiritual gifts that you could want to have, that's a good thing. But they're garbage unless you love one another. Let's look at that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Actually, we're going to start with the last verse of chapter 12 because the verses were not put in here by Paul, and so it's a bad text break here. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Okay, stop right there. You want to have a spiritual gift that you don't have? That's okay. Paul tells you, eagerly desire those things. There's nothing wrong with desiring a spiritual gift whatsoever. But there's something more important than that. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I'm nothing but noise. Speaking to you as a former band director, I will tell you that a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal is nothing but noise. Unless it is used in the context of love and appreciation for everything that the rest of the band is doing together, and uses that gift at the right time in the right way to so bless the rest of the work of all the people, then it's beautiful. But if you want to play Amazing Grace and you're doing nothing but banging a gong over top of it, it's nothing but noise. If I don't have love, it's nothing but noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, yes, faith is a spiritual gift. Some folks have a faith that is absolutely unshakable. God bless you. Some of us struggle daily. But the Spirit has given to each as He sees fit. If I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And what did Paul just talk about? I don't need you because you don't have what I got. Love does not dishonor others. It is not me seeking. It's we seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we, and I think it's important to realize here that Paul includes himself in this statement. He doesn't say, for y'all know in part and I know everything. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the childish things behind me. How's Paul saying that the Corinthians are acting? Childish. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Please don't rip that out of context, because the next thing he's going to say is, now how do we do church using love? And folks, if there was ever a time where we need to do church using love, now's that time. Because there's a lot of people that are nitpicking at each other right now. There's a lot of people who are griping right now. There's a lot of people who are hurting right now. And the last thing this world needs are divided brothers and sisters in Christ who are trying to appear more righteous than somebody else. It's the last thing that the world needs as to who is right and who is wrong. We all need Jesus, period. And that is where Paul keeps drawing us back to. That the love that was displayed on the cross, that's what matters. And when we live out that love in our lives toward our brothers and sisters, towards our family members, towards complete strangers, that's what matters. That's all that matters. Because everything else is going to pass away. Your pew wasn't your pew for about 8 weeks, wasn't it? And now with this setup, you don't know where your pew is. It doesn't matter, does it? What matters is the love of Christ and carrying that forward in our lives every day. And I'll be the first one to say, that includes Facebook. Because there's some really, really godly folks that are posting some really ungodly stuff on Facebook right now. We are called to be ambassadors, not of me, but of Christ and of the community that we belong to. Let's do our best to do that. Father, as we seek to honor you in all that we do, help us be guided by love. Father, not romantic love, because as Paul wrote here, he's not talking about feelings, Father. There's not a single emotion mentioned here. What's mentioned is living our life in a way that honors and respects others. And most importantly, respects you. Father, as the words of Jesus reminded us earlier, that we are called to love you with all of our everything, and to do that by loving our neighbor as ourselves. So, Father, help us each and every day, in every word that we say, in every gesture that we make, in every conversation that we have, Father, in every post that we make on the internet, help us to love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. And Father, I pray that each one of us here would carry that story forward in our lives. And Father, our friends that are watching at home, I pray that they would do the same. Help us be more and more like your Son each and every day. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This morning, if you've never made the decision to follow Christ, to live for Him and not yourself, that's a decision that you need to make. And I don't care about social distancing in a baptistry. We're going to go in that water if you want to do that, okay? So if that's the decision that you need to make this morning, we're ready to do that. If you need prayers, if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, whatever it is, live His story, not your own. Let's stand as we sing.